Welcome to the latest episode of Your Wealth with Gemma Dell, a podcast series designed to help you create, grow, and protect your wealth.
Hi, and welcome to Your Wealth. I'm Gemma Dell, NabTrade's Director of SMSF and Investor Behaviour. Today I'm joined by Paul Ricard from Switzer, who is well known to many of you as a finance commentator par excellence. Paul has more than 25 years' experience in financial services and banking. He was the founding managing director and CEO of Australia's largest online trading platform, and he's since co-founded the Switzer Super Report, providing investment recommendations and insights to Australians through regular newsletters, videos, and on radio. Paul, thanks for joining me.
Thanks, Gemma. Great to be here.
So, new financial year, always a brilliant time for people to review their portfolio. Mm. Any catalyst to review your portfolio can be good. And to give some thought to new opportunities, often people have cash at this time of year because they've made super contributions or they've sold down part of their portfolio prior to 30 June and so on. I will remind people before we get into your ideas that we can't obviously take your personal circumstances into consideration because we don't know them. This is general advice. You need to consider your own needs and your own goals and objectives before you act on any of these ideas. But with that said, you're going to bring us some of your best stock ideas for the next 12 months?
Yeah, I'll try to. I think the first thing I'm going to say, Gemma, thank you for having me, is that look, it's been a really interesting last 12 months as we've gone through the trade and tariffs and every other sort of, I won't say tantrum, but every other word you can think of starting with T.
Yeah.
Put a Trump next to it. And that's had a huge impact on the markets. But we finished with the markets higher than they were 12 months ago.
Yeah.
And so the underlying sort of the key drivers of why share prices in the United States are higher and why share prices in Australia are higher than they were 12 months ago is of course, the economy and companies are earning more.
Mm.
And earnings have expanded in the US and the market's gone up. And to some extent, we've followed here in Australia.
Mm.
And I think you've got to stick with that belief. I mean, you can be as worried as you want about President Trump and everything else going on in the world and talk of a housing collapse in Australia or every other thing that's gonna burst and bubble that's gonna crunch.
But,
you know, we are where we are and markets are still, they're still secular bull markets. And despite all the trials and tribulations, I think you've got to stay long in this market and stick with it. And I think that's probably the most important lesson I take into the new financial year. You might want to think at some stage whether you need to become a bit more defensive at some stage, but I think you stay with the trend. I don't think there's any reason yet to go away from the trend.
So the noise, and there has been so much noise, as you say, and it's political and it's economic and it's, you know, in a global economy now, there is so much information to be had. The NAB Economics team has a daily podcast, if you want to listen to it. It's 15 minutes of economic information every morning, things that happened overnight. And if you follow that, you could get quite anxious about some elements of your portfolio, or you could be really bullish on other elements of your portfolio, depending on how you interpret that information. Your point is economies are growing nicely.
There's a massive amount of noise. And look, we know bull markets can't go on forever. And I think that's the sort of, that's what sort of the backdrop to a lot of the discussion is. Everyone's saying, well, it's, you know, this is the end is nigh. Now, it may be, but at this point in time, I think you've just got to stick with the trend. At some stage, the United States is going to turn around and say, that's the end of the bull market.
Yeah.
But we're not there yet. And there's no obvious warning signs to say that you're even close. And look, I could be wrong. In history, we know things change quickly, but I think you've got to stay with it. You don't pick tops, you don't pick bottoms. Mm. And the old saying, the trend is your friend, is a very, very powerful adage in markets, and stick with the trend. So that's, I think, is where I would start from thinking about 2018-19. I'd start with the trend is still okay. Maybe I might want to get a little more defensive during the year. Maybe that's time now, but I'm not there yet. And certainly the challenge we have in Australia, of course, is that we haven't really performed that brilliantly in Australia. I mean, 17-18 was okay, you know, but it wasn't brilliant, but it was up. And returns, you know, are going to be in the order of, in an aggregate level, if you add in dividends, around about 10% of the stock market. That's nothing to be sneezed at.
No, better than cash.
Better than cash. And that's what the numbers will show. I mean, it doesn't mean we've all done that well, and it's been harder, I think, for many retail investors because, you know, there's been such sort of unloved parts of the market, and you know, banks and Telstra and the retailers and some others have fallen so badly out of favour, and some other stocks have just gone on this enormous run.
Yeah.
And somehow so much appears to have been momentum, but I think you've got to stick with sort of your underlying belief. That's where I'd start.
Okay, so I think that's really encouraging for people, because we often get people on the podcast.
Yeah, I should give my $64 out, you know, bearish stars and everything. You'll replay this in 6 months' time and say, he was a sucker who told me to stick with the trend, right? Thank you very much.
We won't do that to you. We won't do that to you. It's on the point of the noise, one of my favourite quotes of all time is that markets have predicted 7 out of the last 3 recessions. Yeah. So there is always something of a disparity between what happens in markets and what the economy is actually doing.
If you're like asking an economist, you know, will it go up or down? Well, of course it'll go up. It could go down. It could go sideways. You get 3 answers, right? It's the same.
All of them may be correct.
more than 3 possibly, right?
So let's talk about the actual stocks that people are holding. So a lot of our listeners do like to take a punt on particular stocks. They're looking for ways to improve their portfolio positioning and so on. You've got some views on where people might wish to look for some opportunity over the next 12 months.
Yeah, I think some of the beaten up stocks is where I'd be sort of heading a little bit, because the market is now a bit more expensive than it was. And we've seen in particular the banks and some of the other financials come under pressure. I guess the Royal Commission has had a bigger impact than people like I expected. I thought the market would have got bored with the Royal Commission some time ago, because markets tend to be, you know, we're all humans, but we get our ability to focus and concentrate. And I think if anything, that it's moved on a little bit away from the Royal Commission, more to concern about the outlook for housing and what that could do with earnings. And there's been a bit of pressure also on margins. And that's partly, I think, a function of bond rates in the States going up a little bit, and some of the cost of short-term funds spreads have just blown out a little bit. So there's sort of there's a threefold issue going on. There's the uncertainty of the Royal Commission. Is that really going to change their business? Likely to lead to more regulation? What's the cost of that? Could it cause a bit of a credit crunch? That would be bad for profits for banks in the medium term, which is sort of slowdown. Then you've got sort of the housing market. You know, we've said, you know, Sydney, Melbourne, they tend to go up for 4 or 5 years, which is exactly what's happened. Then they go into this lull phase. Other people are saying it's going to be worse than that. But certainly, you know, lending is slowing, and maybe some of the Royal Commission's feeding to that too, that the banks might have to be a bit more, I won't say circumspect, but their processes around lending might become tighter. And so credit's going to be rationed a little bit, so their ability to grow earnings will be harder. And then the third factor is obviously just some margins, and that's more to do with the cost of short-term funds, but we're sort of following the lead out of the States here as interest rates, at least the US, are going up, and some of the pressure that's putting. So they're sort of the negatives. I had expected the market would have become, as I said, bored of this some months ago. But my timing has been wrong. But I think there's still value there, because I just think you look at the yields. I don't see the lot of insecurity in those yields. So I think that the earnings are under pressure, but I don't think they're going to collapse. If anything, I think they're going to put a lot of focus on cost. So basically, the earnings outlook is fair to, you know, neutral. Still very attractive yields. There is no risk of unemployment breaking out. I don't think there's going to be a housing market collapse. There'll be a bit of a slowdown. And they've got enough capital. Because what we spent the last 2 or 3 years doing with all the regulation was they all had to raise capital. They don't need any more capital. Sure, they might have to do a bit of divestment if some of the Royal Commission findings unwind, but they're going to be divesting businesses that largely haven't been big contributors anyhow. So, and many of them have done that already. So I think that's where I would be looking.
So a lot of NABTrade investors have picked up.
They've already done that, and they say, we're full on banks, right? And that's what you're seeing a bit in the market, because if you've got to look at some of, you know, I love a company like CSL, right? It's just a fantastic company, but you know, it is just gone crazy. And there's not the only company that you can just look at that's just gone, I would say, gone crazy. You know, there's Cochlear's in the same category. There's some growth stocks like, well, you look at ResMed's and probably in that category in the health space. You look at stocks, some of the other sort of so-called high flyers, you know, the Aristocrats, great company. But people are paying, you know, look at the Bellamy's and the 18 Milks. People are paying crazy multiples for anything that's got a growth in front of it, right?
Yeah.
And that's, to me, all momentum. And part of that is just saying, okay, well, we're sort of full on the banks.
Yeah.
We don't really like the Telstra story yet. We're not sure about the Telstra story. Wesfarmers and Woolworths have come back. I'll come back to those. Where can I find anything that's growing? And it's almost like the money's almost pushing that up, and the money's following the money as the momentum. So much in this market is now about momentum.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got to be wary about momentum. It changes very quickly.
Yeah.
And sometimes those changes, the shifts are not quick. It's hard to spot as a retail investor just when there's a momentum change. And you don't want to be at the end of the momentum because... So I think some of the stocks that have been beaten up, if you believe the market's got higher to go, I think the growth is in price terms is going to come out of the stocks that have been beaten up.
Okay.
Not from some of the high flyers. So I love CSL.
Mm-hmm.
Would I go short? No. Would I take some profits? Maybe. But, you know...
Cause, so you're not buying it this price.
I'm not buying it, you know. Like, and it's a great company. I mean, but... And it's been a great company. And I'm just... happy to say one of the competitions last year I tipped it and I've done looked like a hero. I had no expectation it would go up this much. I just thought it was one of my least risky tips, but it has. And it was $120 a year ago, or a bit less than a year ago. It got down into the 90s, blipped into the 90s, and now we're sort of close to 200 or thereabouts. So, you know, fantastic company, but you know. Look at the multiple it's trading at. It's trading at 35 times next year's earnings. Is that the right value for a health stock? Well, in the Australian market, yes. Compared to some of its peers offshore, it's super expensive.
Yeah.
And I think you've just got to... So I think the way to play next 12 months a little bit is look at some where the value is. Mm-hmm. Value's been out of favour. To being a value investor, and a lot of your... I'm sure you've had some of the fund managers that have had a pretty tough 12 months being a value investor. Yeah. Because that's not why the market. The market's all been about momentum, and all been about growth. And and you think, well, I just don't know whether it can continue like that. So I think that's where I would be looking a little bit into the next year.
Okay.
There's some other stocks in that category. Ramsey's a stock in that category. JB Hi-Fi's. There's some other stocks outside that the space of some of the financials, but they're probably the most obvious ones to look at.
Okay, so if I said you've got three stocks for the next financial year, where's your money going?
Well, one of the banks would be in that category. And look, you don't need to, I think there's a couple probably that are a little more of a standout, but they are employing very largely the same strategy. So the differences are at the edge.
Yeah.
All right, very minor now between the banks, and you'll see the market just rotate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you saw one of the banks, you know, is quite well bid for a couple of months, and suddenly the market says, oh, this other bank's get a little bit cheaper, and we go back to that one, and you just see the rotation between them. So they've never been closer in multiples, so I'd be looking at one of the banks.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be one of the core. I think you've got to stay at this stage long in the resources part.
Okay.
Not that because I believe I'm any better predictor at commodities than anybody else.
Mm.
In fact, the last thing I try to say is to tell you I could predict commodity prices. But you know, we are in a secular upswing. We you know, the reason why one of the reasons commodity prices are higher is because you know economies globally we sort of some sort of synchronized world growth. That's true, and that's why you know iron ore and base metal prices and things like copper are higher. And I think that's, you play the trend. The trend is stay long commodity stocks. Mm. You know, there's other arguments around the oil price, you know, OPEC and all sorts of things, but they've done it well, right? Mm. They've worked out how to manage that.
Yes.
And I don't think they're going to crash. So I think whether I'd be adding to resources at the moment, I'm not sure, but I wouldn't be selling. So I think... If I was looking for my three stocks, I suppose, you know, I probably prefer BHP simply because I think it's the most diversified.
Mm-hmm.
And look, maybe the time to get out of those stocks is when they start buying things. So
I've been told that by more than one person, actually.
They haven't done that, although we've seen South 32 and others come out with some big announcements. So maybe that's almost, I should be saying that's the catalyst to think about whether you hold that. The trend at the moment is still okay. And then the third one, well, look, I can't put CSL, I've just told you how expensive it is.
Yes, you've said you're willing to hold it.
I'm willing to hold it, only because I'm so scared to sell it, but I do think that there are going to be some opportunities. And we know, what if you look at our market over the last 5, 6, 7 years, one thing it has told us is it really is sort of, you know, it grinds up and then it pulls back, and we do a lot of work. Yeah. And we've had no clear breakout. It's just suddenly gone to a new level and stayed there.
Yeah.
You know, so if you know that, it's almost like you can say, even if we sort of, you know, the upswing keeps on going for a bit, you know it's going to come back at some stage. It has retraced. It's been a really tough, it's been going up, but it hasn't been a huge, the trajectory has never been one way without without a good pullback. Mm. So I think time's on your side a little bit here. Mm. So that's probably where I'm at for, yeah, probably, again, I'd probably go for a company like Aristocrat. Okay. Leisure, it's a bit expensive, but it's US dollar exposure. I guess that's where the A dollar is heading further south. Mm-hmm. We've all been hoping that for a long time. I do think JB Hi-Fi is a great company, but, you know, again, retail is a bit out of fashion, and yeah, its purchase of Good Guys is probably, in hindsight, whether they might be having a, you know, bit of indigestion around that. So it's often the way, you know, you look at companies buying other companies, the track records are pretty ordinary.
Yeah, it's very difficult to manage that process. So
Ramsay Healthcare, I don't know why the market has got it where it is. It's another company. I just think that's a cool business. Mm. I do like Transurban, but probably not at these prices. I don't think bond markets are out of control. So some of those stocks that got beaten up, you know, probably have some appetite still, upside still.
Okay. So there were a couple you mentioned before we started mm-hmm. speaking that you may have less appetite for mm-hmm. over the next 12 months, might want to...
Yeah, so I think I did just mention Wesfarmers and Woolworths. I think Wesfarmers is a very interesting stock. It's been in such a tight trading range for so many years, but sort of been about a buy at $38, $39 and a high of $44, right? Mm-hmm. And spent most of its time between 40 and 42. Mm. And you look at the chart over 5 years, it's almost a straight line. And no stock is straight line, but
yeah.
But it's just hit a 10-year high. Now... Mm. I actually think Wesfarmers looks a bit expensive, but my guess is why is it hit a 10-year high? Well, there's a couple of things happening. First of all, it got rid of Homebase in the UK, and that was another example of an Australian company going offshore and making an absolute mess of it. That shouldn't count as a positive, but, you know, markets are now happy that it's got rid of it, and the drag on underlying earnings will improve because that was losing... Well, the last half lost about $165 million. So annualised, it was losing maybe around about $300 million a year. So that'll disappear. Mm-hmm. They'll write off in full the mistake and mm-hmm. people will move on. Mm-hmm. It's going to demerge Coles. Well, look, demergers are good. But again, you've got to be a little think about whether that's why that should be substantial, should have caused a share price rally per se. I mean, the history of demergers in Australia is pretty good. Mm-hmm. I can give you a lot more examples of successes and failures, but there have been the offer. Yeah. And it's often, it does, in the share price terms, it's not straight away. It often takes about 6 months before the overhang of stock goes, because what happens at a demerger is suddenly everyone gets, so in this demerger, you're currently a Wesfarmers shareholder. You'll end up with a share in Wesfarmers, which will be new Wesfarmers, and a share in Coles. Mm. And lots of people who now have shares in Coles will say, well, I don't really want to be a shareholder in Coles, yeah. And they're going to sell. Often it's a less big asset, but that tends to create a bit of an overhang yeah. of stock, because suddenly people have now got the choice whether they want to be a shareholder or not in Coles. Mm. Some will say, yep, I want to stay a shareholder. And others say, no, I don't really want to own a supermarket's business. I can see Aldi, I can see Costco, I can see the other Germans coming and Kaufman coming and all the rest of it. And I don't really think that's where I want to be in Coles. Well, it's been beaten by Woolworths and I don't think it's the number one anymore and I want to get out. Mm. So from a historical sense, and you know, a good example here is CYBG, which was spun off from the National Australia Bank. It took a while for the overhang to go. A lot of people suddenly had shares in a UK bank, and it didn't do much for a while. Mm. Right? In fact, it went down a little bit from where it first started. Mm. It took about 6 to 9 months for the overhang to go, and then people said, "Look, this is a bank we want to own." And so that's not why the share price has gone up, but. Hmm. That's from a shareholder's point of view. The whole idea with a demerger, of course, is that it frees up management, right? And you don't have, you know, all the bureaucracy, and you know, you don't have, they aren't necessarily capital starved, and they aren't technology starved, and you know, they don't have head office to worry about, and there's all these sort of reasons around if you sort of empower the local management and give them their chance to be the CEO and let them run a business, and normally in the demerger they're set up with a fairly strong balance sheet and, you know, given an independent board, and so they get some new input, and you know, you can see over time that they tend to, more often than not, they work than they fail. There are costs.
Yeah.
But my point about going back to Wesfarmers is Wesfarmers is really Australia's only true conglomerate.
Yeah.
And Coles, it runs it very autonomously anyhow. So it's not as though this is spinning off an asset that hasn't had a heap of capital, hasn't managed itself autonomously. You know, there's nothing that the Wesfarmers head office in Perth does that it applies to the industrial safety business or the mining business that it applies to Coles.
Yeah.
Apart from capital discipline. And so I don't think this has some of the same drivers that other spin-offs have. So that's why I'm not sure why this should have caused the share price to go up.
Yeah.
And then thirdly, well, there's a new CEO and he's got new plans and they're going to do all great things and they're going to mine data and all this sort of stuff. Well, that's all nice, but it's now, you know, it went up to about $48. So I think that's a company maybe, you know, got a little expensive, and maybe that's something that a bit of profit taking needed.
Okay. Woolies, you had some comments about that too.
Yeah, Woolies got up back up close to $30. Remember, Woolies almost touched $20 in sort of the depths of the thing. I think both those companies look a little expensive, because the reason they got so badly beaten up was that we followed what was going on in the UK and effectively the supermarket wars, and we had all these new entrants come into the market, particularly, you know, people like Aldi and Costco and Kaufman and others, and they're still there. And there's still this enormous battle going on. And maybe there's not quite, the price wars eased a little bit, which is probably helpful. But, you know, margins in supermarkets aren't brilliant. And, you know, Woolies has recovered from being sort of almost an under $20 stock to being up near $30. That's a 50% recovery.
Yeah,
I think a lot of the good story of Woolworths is now behind it. So, they're safe stocks, but I don't think they're necessarily where I'd be looking for growth.
Any little picks for growth, or do you think all our growth opportunities are pretty well priced at this point?
I think there are still some small caps out there. Look, I'm probably the sort of person who looks more for value. So I actually look at some of the things, some of the listed investment companies trading at big discounts.
Okay.
And find that's a reasonably safe investment. If you've got a reasonable manager and for some reason they're trading at 10, 12% discount.
Any that you like in particular?
Well, one I'm associated with, so I won't say. But there are some. They're both onshore. They've both got onshore. Sorry, there are listed investment companies covering both international assets and domestic assets. So they do publish their NTA. You can see that. You can get tables. You can go to the NABTrade website, and you know, look at that. So that's a reasonably safe type of transaction, you know, buying something at a discount, as long as the manager's okay. Sometimes discounts can hang around for a long time. So there's a couple there. I think, just trying to think what else I like. I like another company that's beaten up is Link, which I think has got a great business, and it got beaten up. It used to be, most investors will be familiar with Link, of course, through the registry business. Of course, Link and Computershare are the dominant registries. But the registry business is now only about 15-20% of their business, even less. Its main business is still providing back office services to most of the large super funds. So it does most of the back office for people like Australian Super and others. But it's also diversified recently into the UK and made a big acquisition of a business in the UK. The reason Link got beaten up was because of the change that the government's mooting about the super fees and putting a cap on of 3% on administration fees. And of course, Link doesn't charge that fee, but it provides services to the super funds who do. That's going to force more combination of accounts. They get paid on sort of a per account basis. If they get squeezed on admin fees, then Link will get squeezed on audit fees. But its price came off from, it completed one, you know, just 2 months ago, a really successful capital raising at $8.50. Mm. Next minute, it's trading down at $6.80. It's now about $7.20,
yeah,
or thereabouts. And I think that's a business. So there are companies there that have just fallen, been well regarded by the market, fallen from favour for a reason, often not their own of their own reason, but a headwind has come up, yeah. And I think there's some value there to be found.
Any last thoughts before we leave people to go and look carefully at their portfolios and consider some of your recommendations?
I think, it's easy for me to say this and hard to do. I'm like everybody else. You know, the new financial year is also a time just to go through and clean the decks a little bit. We say that at the end of the year, and the reason we keep saying to people because it's a really hard thing to do. The really great investors tell you the best decision they make is to cut things.
Yeah.
Okay, and you see Warren Buffett or any of the other gurus, and they'll tell you that's the hardest thing, is to recognise when they're wrong.
Mm.
Sometimes we've got some dogs. So I would have said the same thing before the end of last financial year, but I'm going to say it again at this year. You know, it's start afresh, get yourself some fresh air. I invest for my time frame is medium to long term, but doesn't mean I haven't in my portfolio got something I bought 3 years ago and it's just not working. And
yeah.
I've just got to bite the bullet on it. It's never going to work. There are dud companies, right? You see them, and they are always going to be duds.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's for me also, there's a bit of profit taking at the moment, but...
That happens, but look, I mean, I think that's my sort of two bobs worth. So have a look. Look for some value. I think this financial year, we're more likely to see value come back a little bit, simply because it's had a tough few years.
Yeah.
And I've never seen so many stocks get beaten up with a market that's going high. It's a really strange market.
Interesting. Paul, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks, Gemma.
Love having you on. As always, thank you so much for listening to this episode of Your Wealth. We love hearing from you. If you have any feedback or suggestions for future topics, please just email us at yourwealth@nab.com.au. I'm Gemma Dale. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for listening to Your Wealth with Gemma Dale. To stay up to date, please subscribe to this podcast series or email us at yourwealth@nab.com.au.
Please note that any advice provided in this podcast has been prepared without taking into account your objectives, financial circumstances, or needs. Before acting, you should consider the appropriateness of the information. To find out more, please visit nab.com.au.